recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention. And thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. Purport. One can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam if one has heard it from a self-realized great soul like Shukadeva Goswami. One cannot, however, learn Bhagavatam from a bogus hired reciter whose aim of life is to earn some money out of such recitation and employ the earning in sex indulgence. No one can learn Srimad Bhagavatam who is associated with persons engaged in sex life. That is the secret of learning Bhagavatam. Nor can one learn Bhagavatam from one who interprets the text by his mundane scholarship. One has to learn Bhagavatam from the representative of Shukadeva Goswami and no one else, if one at all wants to see Lord Sri Krishna in the pages. That is the process and there is no alternative. Suta Goswami is a bona fide representative of Shukadeva Goswami because he wants to present the message which he received from the great learned Brahmana. Shukadeva Goswami presented Bhagavatam as he heard it from his great father. And so also Suta Goswami is presenting Bhagavatam as he had heard it from Shukadeva Goswami. Simply hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person. And then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuh Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Larita Shri Vishakam Vidamsha Namavom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swaminitinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So Suta Goswami is concluding this chapter with this verse on how he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention from Shukadeva Goswami, and how he learnt it from him, and now how he is repeating it, yathadhitam yathamati, as I have learnt it, as far as my realization goes, I will try to repeat it, he says. As it is stressed here, the importance of being perfectly attentive. Nivishtaha, the word is used. Nivishtaha. At the same time it is said, Tat anugrahat, by his mercy. So, even when mercy is available in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should be attentive to receive it. Srila Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and made this wonderful morning program. The morning program is a power-packed succession of varieties of beneficial devotional practices, beginning from the Mangalarti and Narsingarti, Tulasiarti, and Guru Puja and Srimad Bhagavatam class. So if one is completely attentive with one's senses, there is opportunity to come face to face with Krishna, with one's senses, with one's mind, one's heart, and one's intellect also. One can come face to face with Krishna, provided one is attentive in all these programs. By being attentive, like the verse says here, that one can see Krishna face to face in the pages of Bhagavatam. How can one see Krishna face to face? In fact, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we get the darshan of the deity face to face with the eyes. And with the mind and the heart, we also can absorb in the meaning of the Guru Ashtak, Narsingarti, Tulasi Arti, Guru Puja and all these things. And with our heart and intellect, we can also absorb in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by so doing, one can see Krishna face to face. That is why it is said one should attend all these programs, not just with the physical body, but with the mind. How can one attend these programs with the mind? That we should learn from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In one of his songs he says, when I hear this Gauravihita Kirtan, Gauravihita Kirtana Shuni, Avasara Sadaya Chit. In that Shuddha Bhakta song he says that when I hear the Mridanga Vadya, Shunita Mana, so when my mind hears this Mridanga Vadya, immediately it dances in great ecstasy. It is not just the sound of the Mridangam, but the meaning of the songs that are sung with Mridangam and Kartar, that puts him in such ecstasy. And also he says, when Charanamrita is offered to me in my hands, he says, I immediately remember the Ganges that is flowing out of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. When I take the Charanamrita, he says. So this is the way of serving the Lord with the mind. So when we take Charanamrita, we may probably not remember, like what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So all these songs should be sung, they should be heard, they should be meditated upon and remembered if one really wants to see Krishna face to face. Because they are not some tunes or songs sung just for the sake of some entertainment. They are not done for entertainment. All this morning program is conducted so that we can gradually open our Divya Chakshu, which is already there with all of us. Chakshudan Dilojai, Janma Janma Prabhu Sevise. So the eyes can open when? For that we have to be attentive. If one is not attentive, then one will gradually lose enthusiasm in the programs. And this is true for everything. The whole morning program, one place I was reading, Prabhupada writes about how if one is not very attentively performing devotional services, then one will lose taste for devotional service over a period of time. One becomes degraded. Actually, if sometimes we go late night, then the whole morning program, one is dragging along in a drowsy state of semi-intoxicated state of consciousness. Not intoxicated in love of God, but intoxicated in sleep. So when one drags along in a semi-state of consciousness, in a hallucinatory state of consciousness, in the mode of ignorance, such a state of consciousness leads to inattention. And such inattention cannot give two things especially. One is the strength in devotional service that we are looking for, and the purification. Actually, we all perform these activities, devotional activities, to gain strength, to remain strong in our Krishna consciousness. So we will not regain that strength despite performing devotional service. Sometimes people ask, I am doing devotional service for so many years, why I am not making progress? It seems that I am just dragging along, coasting along, and I am not able to make any progress. I don't feel that strength, I feel weak. So we can check with our attentiveness in the performance of devotional service. And same is true with purification also. The purification of heart will take place only when one is attentive in devotional service, when performing every activity. One needs attention. Sometimes, even in serving a very great Vaishnava, one needs to be very attentive. Sometimes one is not attentive, one is chastised. Because attention to the details also comes when we respect a person. When we respect someone, you also pay attention to the details. For example, they are cooking for Krishna. You know, you are very careful that you don't burn the item which you are cooking. You put the right amount of salt, right amount of chili. Sometimes after putting salt, you are thinking whether you put salt or not. What does that mean? That means you are not attentive in cooking. Same is true for all the activities, like serving a person. If you are serving someone, you serve him prasad and you don't give him water, so you may forget. So forgetfulness or inattention is also a sign of lack of respect also. Or lack of faith in what we are doing. Or lack of faith in the person. Now, talking about Bhagavatam, there are a lot of factors that go into picture in hearing Bhagavatam. The qualification of the speaker, the qualification of the hearer, all these things are coming into play when we talk about the benefit that one derives from Bhagavatam. Here, the qualification of the speaker is presented. Sudha Goswami heard from Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami heard from Vedavyas. So the speaker is highly qualified here. And the audience was also very highly qualified audience, namely Parikshit Maharaj. He was also a very qualified audience. So the speaker should be qualified also, as Prabhupada says here. One should not hear from what kind of people, Prabhupada says. He says one should not hear from a Mayavadi, one should not hear from a professional reciter. From who all we should not hear Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says. Like he says about professional reciters, in India it's very common that professional reciters sometimes perform Bhagavatam recitation to please the rich or wealthy audience so that they can get some few lakhs of rupees donation. There are some Bhagavatam reciters who say, unless you keep 10 lakhs on the table, I won't come to recite Bhagavatam. So they take money. So because they take money, they also have to pamper the senses of the those rich people, so that they will be calling them for the next time also again. So it is done with that desire to pamper those people. And they recite from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam such leelas, like the leela between Krishna and the gopis. The purpose is to give the audience a feeling as if they are watching a movie. They can have some fun. So in that connection, Prabhupada says, how the Bhagavatam is actually recited for Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. It is actually recited for destroying the anarthas in the heart, especially lust. By recitation of Bhagavatam, the hearers, their heart should become freed from lust, freed from hankering for material enjoyment. Their heart should become free from bodily consciousness, free from material attachments, on one hand. On the other hand, the hearer should experience that they feel a great loving attraction for Krishna, and they feel a great hankering to return back to Godhead. That kind of awakening should happen. That is real Bhagavatam, a real hearing. Like Vidura came and preached to Dhritarashtra, and you can see the effect. What was the effect of that hearing? That kind of preaching. And he got awakened. Immediately Dhritarashtra followed into the forest. Arpachana Parishat is hearing from Narada. He also immediately leaves. And he proceeds to the forest to take Vanaprastha. So, real hearing means it should awaken the Dharvan Krishna consciousness in the heart of a person. Attraction for Krishna. And the material life should be finished. One's material life, one's eagerness for materialistic enjoyments should be finished in the heart. That is real hearing of Bhagavatam. So, somebody may say, oh, probably the speaker is not qualified. Because I am not feeling any, I am not experiencing any change of heart. I am feeling lusty, I am feeling greedy. That means the speakers are all unqualified fools. So that is why both the qualifications are important. Sometimes a very powerful, potent speaker may speak Bhagavatam. Like Srila Prabhupada spoke many times Bhagavatam, but people won't sit only. They will run away. They will just come for kirtan, and once kirtan is over, they will go away. They will not sit and hear in the very first place. Or even if somebody is sitting and hearing, many times you will hear in Prabhupada's classes, Prabhupada says, sit properly, hear attentively. He says many times. Because people sometimes, their bodies are physically present, but mentally they are absent. They are not here. They are elsewhere. So the mind has to be attentive. If one wants to purify the heart, one has to take the Bhagavatam message in. Most importantly, unless one has the respect for the speaker, and one's heart is submissive, the message of Bhagavatam will not sink into the heart. It's not possible. Only when one's heart is submissive to hear, that is why Prabhupada says three things about a disciple. He says, surrender, question and service. Three things, he says, are essential on the part of the disciple. So disciple should have surrender, which comes from submissiveness. One should submissively hear. Then only one can surrender. Which actually means that one has faith and confidence that yes, this knowledge is coming in parampara. It's pure knowledge. By hearing it, I will become purified. And this person who is speaking is more qualified than me. I have to hear from him for my benefit. Just like, for example, you go to a doctor. You have taken an appointment with the doctor. After a long time, your turn comes. Sometimes people sit in the hospital, right? For a long queue. And then your turn comes. When you go and sit in front of him, the doctor is asking you many questions about the symptoms. What are the symptoms you are facing of the disease? The same can be compared to our life also. What are the symptoms of materialistic life that you feel? One feels lusty, one feels greedy, one wants to enjoy materialistic life. Those are the symptoms of disease in the material world we face. And then the doctor pays attention to our disease and diagnoses the disease and he gives medicine. And one is supposed to be attentive in expressing one's symptoms and hearing the diagnosis and also accepting the medicine properly. Imagine you accept the medicine, take it home and put it in the cupboard and you lock it. Many people do that. Or sometimes people use the medicine, they take little bit, as soon as they get a little well, what do? They forget the course, they stop the medicine, they don't take it anymore. Nor do they ever call the doctor and tell him, sir, I am well. Isn't it? We have a doctor, they can ask him, how many patients call you? Once they get well, do they ever call you? Nobody calls, isn't it? They totally forget the doctor. So, similarly, people go to sadhu or guru only when there is problem. They will run to him crying, oh, Sadhu Baba, please set my problem right immediately. So they may hear patiently that time. And once the problems are finished, then they don't go back to him anymore. Nor do they want to take the medicine of Bhagavatam afterwards. So people want, that is why there is a great reason behind this Bhagavata Saptahas. Why the Bhagavata Saptahas are kept in India? Prabhupada says in one place that there are many people who are very passionate in anything they do. They have a tendency to be passionate in anything they do. That means even when they become religious also, they become passionately religious. That they want to do something which no one can do. 7 days, 7 nights they may sit and hear sometimes. There are people like that who have that type of morning, evening, they have Bhagavata Katha. But after 7 days they will not hear, finish. And throughout there they will do whatever they want to do. Like that. Like some people go to this Shabarimala and all those places. For 30-40 days they do very vigorous. And after that, throughout there they do all nonsense. Of course for Parikshit Maharaj, 7 days were the only days left for his life to end. Otherwise you would have heard, he was a pure devotee. He was already hearing Bhagavatam always. But here he heard Bhagavatam 7 days, 7 nights from Shukadeva Goswami for purification before he left the body. But Prabhupada says Bhagavatam should be heard every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Not that once in a blue moon you hear Bhagavatam. So, surrender And there should be question also. That is very important. If somebody doesn't get any question, or somebody hears Bhagavatam in a ritualistic way, then Bhagavatam will not benefit. Even if one does not ask question, one should be eager to hear other people's questions and the answers given. That is a proof that one is attentive, one is eager to hear. But if somebody hears Bhagavatam as a routine, like we have Bhagavatam every day, okay, now it is 8:20 to 9:10, we have to hear as a routine, then it will not benefit much. Actually, some people think you have to just come and sit, you have to hear and go. Because, you know, hearing Bhagavatam is good, it's a spiritual activity. But what I heard, nobody thinks. That is why it is said, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, if the class stops when the speaker stops, that means you have not heard the class. As soon as the speaker says, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, and your Bhagavatam also is put out, finished, and it ends there, that means you have not heard it. Real hearing means, your class starts after the class is over. After you have heard it, you are going out of the class with a day, great deep thinking. Oh, the speaker said like this, this was a new point. It's surprising. Oh, why Krishna said this? Why Parikshit said this? Why Shukadeva Goswami said this? One should have a question. For example, when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he told the Agasura pastime. And the Agasura pastime ended. And then he casually made a statement. And the coward boys, they did not speak about this pastime for one full year. After which they told this pastime to their mothers and fathers and friends and everyone. That's all he said. And then he was proceeding to the next pastime. And immediately Parikshit Maharaj stopped. He said, Shudhusan, please tell me, why 1 year the coward boys did not narrate this Agasura pastime to the relatives and friends? What were they doing this 1 year? Why did they not recite? So he had an eagerness to ask this question. Then Shukadeva Goswami heard it, he felt very encouraged. He said, your questions are so nice, I feel greatly encouraged to answer them. He said, during this 1 year what happened? The Brahma Mohan Leela took place. So the coward boys actually didn't meet their parents. That's why they couldn't tell Agasura pastime. Because Krishna expanded into, you know, so many covered boys and calves. Then he went into that pastime. Brahma Mohan Leela pastime, and elaborately said that with great enthusiasm. So we can see that the eagerness of the speaker also increases by the eagerness of the hearers. Parikshit. Something similar we find when Shukadeva Goswami was telling Parikshit that after the Dhenukasura pastime got over, he said, then Krishna went to the, sometimes Krishna used to go to riverside with Balaram and covered boys and calves. Sometimes he would go only with the covered boys. So one day when he went with the covered boys, he saw that covered boys went to the riverside, drank some water, and immediately they all fell unconscious in the bank of the river. And Krishna, merely by his glance, he woke them all up. That is the power of Krishna's glance. And he said, and then there was Kaliya in the waters of Yamuna. And Krishna subdued the Kaliya and sent him away, drove him away to another place. He said. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami was proceeding to the next pastime. And Parikshit became very eager. He said, please tell me, who is this Kaliya? Why did he reside in those waters of Yamuna? And how did Krishna subdue him? I would like to know all these things. Please tell me. Please do not think that I have not eaten anything, or I have not slept for so many days. Because, you know, Shukadeva Goswami may think that, you know, he has been hearing for a long time, he may be thirsty, he may be hungry, or he may be sleeping. Don't try to cut short the pastime. Please tell elaborately. Generally, we want people to cut short as much as possible. But here, Parikshit wants to hear unlimitedly. You can see the enthusiasm. In fact, very surprising it is that Parikshit was very thirsty for water, that is why he became angry on Samikrishi. And he took the snake and put it on Samikrishi's neck because he didn't give him water. But the same Parikshit here is not drinking water, is not eating, is not sleeping. But he is not becoming angry, nor is he becoming restless or impatient or upset. Rather, he is hearing with great enthusiasm. This is the result of hearing Bhagavatam. So Bhagavat Katha is like a nectar which enters into the heart of Parikshit, and his enthusiasm is ever increasing. So Parikshit sets a standard for a inquisitive audience. How should the audience be? How should they be eager? And also not only surrender and question, but also service, as Prabhupada explains. Without rendering service, the knowledge cannot be realized. The knowledge will be theoretical knowledge. Prabhupada writes in one of the Bhagavad Gita purports, bookish knowledge without realization is useless, he says. So the realization will not come unless one reads the knowledge with great interest, attention, enthusiasm, eagerness, to know more and to apply in one's life and to render service, and by such application it will turn into realized knowledge, same knowledge of Bhagavatam. So that is what Prabhupada is saying here. If you see, the secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. So here Prabhupada gives a clue how one should maintain one's purity in life, in one's habits and activities, if one wants to become pure in mind. Prabhupada was once talking about chanting also. He says, what is the problem in chanting? Chant and just hear, he was saying. Of course, later on Prabhupada said that just hear is not easy for everyone, unless one is pure in mind. So we are not pure in mind, so difficult. There is difficulty in hearing what we are chanting. And same is true for Bhagavatam also. We feel asleep. We have difficulty because there are many reasons why one falls asleep in Bhagavatam. One of the reasons is one does not know the importance of human form of life. One does not know the value of human form of life, one's purpose. There may be reason that one hasn't slept well, so many, or one is sickly. But also, one doesn't have sufficient enthusiasm or eagerness to hear. Or one doesn't know the value of human form of life. And also one is impure at heart. Here, that is the reason Prabhupada says here. When one is not pure in habits, that means one is not strict with regulative principles of Krishna consciousness in practicing. We can see that we have a tendency to loosen the regulative principles without control. That tendency is there. Wherever there is opportunity for us to loosen the principles, we tend to loosen them. For example, many of us, generally we may think that I am already following four regulative principles, chanting Hare Krishna, I am a wonderful devotee. But we will see that wherever there is opportunity, we loosen the principles. For example, when one watches some impurity, say watches some cinema poster or something, one may think that I am not breaking four regulative principles. But that is a way of loosening the principles by which one will eventually break the regulative principles. One may say that, is it breaking regulative principle? Yeah, it is in one sense breaking the regulative principle. One may say that, one may think that, what's going to be wrong? That's what Prabhupada is saying here. See, no one can give rapt attention one who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So, impure action leads to impure mind, and impure mind leads to inattention and neglect and carelessness, forgetfulness. All these weaknesses sprout from inattention in proper action. Actually, inattention in Bhagavatam is a subtle problem. Whereas, neglect in these gross habits of eating, sleeping, fearing, mating is a gross act. You can see that. How the gross inattention goes to a subtle inattention, we can see that. From gross to subtle it goes. So this goes to show, that is why Krishna says, Tasmatvam indriyani adav niyamya bharatarshubha. First of all, one should take the regulative principles very strictly, not just the 64 regulative principles. One has to be attentive in performing them, in doing all those things. Like the different limbs of devotional service, everything, all those principles. Accepting charanamrit, offering flower, bowing down to Vaishnavas, and all those things that are given, taking darshan of the deity. So these things, if they are performed attentively, then gradually, subtly also will become attentive. If you are grossly attentive to perform the gross rules, then subtly also become attentive. And by neglecting the grassroots, thinking that they are not so important. Like for example, offering prayers before accepting prasadam. After some years, people think, what is the need? Anyway, Hare Krishna, they just accept prasad. So one may not offer prayers. Although one may be very enthusiastic to teach new people how to say Mahaprasada Govinde. But one may not be eager to follow oneself. In the same way, keeping one's rounds for the next day, few rounds, 3-4 rounds, one may keep it for the next day. And the other day I was telling about wearing, you know, ugly dress in front of the deity, you know, dirty dhoti kurta. You remember? I was telling in the morning. So one may be inattentive and neglectful in the practical external activities of devotional service, and that gradually goes to the subtle platform. One becomes neglectful and inattentive in everything that one does. This is Prabhupada gives us a clue that one should be very strict in following all the rules and regulations very rigidly if one wants to become attentive and hearing also. If one wants to hear with rapt attention. So in this way, the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada used to say often about this, that one should not hear from professional reciters. You see, professional reciters are speaking Bhagavatam to satisfy the audience. As Prabhupada quotes in one of his purports, I'd like to read it here. See what Prabhupada writes here. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the leela of how the Bhagavan Acharya, you know, Bhagavan Acharya had a relative who, a brother, who studied in Varanasi, Kashi, and later on he came to Bengal. So he comes with a poem on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to glorify. This is in Puri. He wants to glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a poem which was tainted with Mayavad. And Bhagavan Acharya was very innocent. See, here it comes. A Brahmana from Bengal wrote a drama about the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and came with his manuscript to induce the Lord to hear it. The Brahmana was acquainted with Bhagavan Acharya, one of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, after meeting him at Jagannath Puri, the Brahmana made his residence at Bhagavan Acharya's home. First, the Brahmana induced Bhagavan Acharya to hear the drama, and then many other devotees joined Bhagavan Acharya in listening to it innocently. All the Vaishnavas praised the drama, saying, "Very good, very good." They also desired that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hear the drama. This goes to show sometimes devotees may be innocently hearing from a Mayavadi. Customarily, anyone who composed a song, verse, literary composition or a poem about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first had to bring it to Swarup Damodar Goswami to be heard. And if it is passed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, then it was presented to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If there was a hint that the mellows overlapped in a manner contrary to the principles of bhakti, then Mahaprabhu would not tolerate it and he would become very angry. So that is why first it was always screened by Swarup Damodar. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not hear anything before Swarup Damodar heard it first. The Lord made this etiquette a regulative principle. Bhagavan Acharya submitted to Swarup Damodar Goswami, "A good Brahmana has prepared a drama about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that appears exceptionally well composed. First you hear it, and if it is acceptable to your mind, I shall request Mahaprabhu to hear it." Swarup Damodar replied, "Dear Bhagavan Acharya, you are a very liberal covered boy. Sometimes the desire awakens within you to hear any kind of poetry. In the writings of so-called poets, there is generally a possibility of overlapping transcendental mellows. When the mellows thus go against the conclusive understanding, no one likes to hear such poetry." And already explained. Hearing the poetry of a person who has no transcendental knowledge and who writes about the relationships between man and woman simply causes unhappiness, whereas hearing the words of a devotee fully absorbed in ecstatic love causes great happiness. You see, this is one very important verse which says this. Actually, the verse Mahiyasam Patarajo Vishekam Nishkinchananam Navrinita Yavat. That verse is quoted by Prahlad Maharaj. There Prabhupada says one should hanker for the association of the great Mahatmas who are completely freed from the tendency for any material contamination. Any material enjoyment of this world. So one should hanker for the association of such people. Why? He says, generally all of us in the material world, we are absorbed in materialistic enjoyments and the tendency of material contamination is strongly present in our hearts. We see that even after physically giving up the materialistic pressures, still the tendency for it doesn't go away. Still it is lurking in the heart. But if there are people who are Mahat or Mahatmas, who are completely pure, who delight only in spiritual activities, and who don't have the tendency at all to do anything materialistic, by serving such Vaishnavas, then one can also be uplifted. So here comes a very important point, lesson for all of us also. We are giving association to so many people, we are preaching. So this behooves that the preachers of Krishna consciousness movement also have to become free from material contamination. Otherwise, we will not be able to benefit the people whom we are preaching to much. Because Srila Prabhupada says that unless we have developed such a kind of freedom from material contamination and such a kind of implicit faith in the scriptures, in the Lord and the devotees, then we cannot invest that faith in other people. It is not possible. We cannot, because bhakti sanjayate bhakti, as it is said, a bhakta who has bhakti only can give bhakti to others. Otherwise it is not possible. Because here as he explains in this purport also, preaching Bhagavatam or reciting Bhagavatam is not a question of one's scholarship. Prabhupada writes that point also here. No one can learn Bhagavatam from one who interprets the text by his mundane scholarship. So there are many people who explain Bhagavatam from a mundane scholarship point of view. So one has learned Bhagavatam from the representative of Shukadeva Goswami and no one else. If one at all wants to see Lord Sri Krishna in the pages. So here Prabhupada stresses on this point very much. So Prabhupada condemns professional reciter as well as a mundane scholar who recites Bhagavatam. Because one cannot gain any tangible benefit by such hearing. So we have to look into both these things. A professional reciter is a sense enjoyer. Because he wants to make money and enjoy his life, as Prabhupada says here. So he is more of a money maker than one interested in glorifying Krishna. On the other hand, a mundane scholar is more eager for becoming a Digvijay Pandit, becoming a famous person. So one has to give up both these tendencies if one wants to recite Bhagavatam. In fact, one has to, as he explains here, as Swarup Damodar explains, hearing the poetry of a person who has no transcendental knowledge and who writes about the relationship between man and woman simply causes unhappiness. There are some people who consider Radha Krishna to be like man and woman and they write love songs between them. They even put up pictures which are very agitating to mind. So such people have no devotion in their heart because they mistakenly consider Radha Krishna pastimes to be mundane and ordinary. And they recite such things to simply please the audience and become famous amongst them and earn money. That's why he says one should actually hear the words of a devotee fully absorbed in ecstatic love. That can cause true happiness. The standard for writing dramas has been set by Rupa Goswami. If a devotee hears the introductory portions of his two dramas, Lalit Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, they enhance his transcendental pleasure. Despite the explanation of Swarup Damodar, Bhagavan Acharya requested, please hear the drama once. If you hear it, you can consider whether it is good or bad. So he very much insisted. For 2 or 3 days, Bhagavan Acharya continually asked Swarup Damodar to hear the poetry. Because of his repeated requests, Swarup Damodar Goswami wanted to hear the poetry written by the Brahmana from Bengal. Swarup Damodar Goswami sat down with other devotees to hear the poetry, and then the poet began to read the introductory verse. So he recited the verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul of the body named Lord Jagannath, whose blooming lotus eyes are widely expanded. Thus he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull matter to life. May that Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya Dev bestow all good fortune upon you. When everyone present heard the verse, they all commended the poet. But Swarupadamodara Goswami requested him, kindly explain this verse. The poet said, Lord Jagannath is the most beautiful body and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exceptionally grave, is the owner of that body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared here in Neelachal to spiritualize the entire dull material world. Hearing this, everyone present was greatly happy, but Swarupadamodara, who alone was very unhappy, began to speak in great anger. You are a fool, he said. We have brought ill fortune upon yourself, for you have no knowledge of the existence of the two lords, Jagannath Dev and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nor have you faith in them. Lord Jagannath is completely spiritual and full of transcendental bliss, but you have compared him to a dull, destructible body composed of inert external energy of the Lord. You have calculated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences, to be on the level of an ordinary living being. Instead of knowing him as a supreme fire, you have accepted him as a spark. Swarupadamodara continued, because you have committed an offense to Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will attain a hellish destination. You do not know how to describe the absolute truth, but nevertheless you have tried to do so. Therefore you must be condemned. You are in complete illusion, for you have distinguished between the body and soul of his lordship, Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is a great offense. At no time there is a distinction between body and soul of the Supreme Lord. His personal identity and his body are made of blissful spiritual energy. There is no distinction between them. So in this way, Swarupadamodara very thoroughly defeated him. I am going to read a small purport, very important purport. Hearing the explanation, all the members of the assembly were struck with wonder. Swarupadamodara Goswami has spoken the real truth, they admitted. The Brahmana from Bengal has committed an offense by wrongly describing Lord Jagannath and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Bengali poet heard this chastisement from Swarupadamodara Goswami, he was ashamed, fearful and astonished. Indeed, being like a duck in a society of white swans, he could not say anything. Seeing the poet's unhappiness, Swarupadamodara Goswami, who was naturally very kind-hearted, advised him so that he could derive some benefit. So Vaishnavas are always compassionate. Instead of just kicking him away, he told him, if you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava and hear from him. You can do this when you have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada used to quote this verse hundreds of times. Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavarastane Ekanta Ashraya Kara Chaitanya Charane. This is the verse. But Prabhupada used to say, Bhagavata Pada Bhagavata Stane, used to say. Prabhupada used to say this in all his lectures. Bhagavata Padiya Bhagavata Stane, Prabhupada used to say. Here it says, Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavarastane, it says. Which means, if you want to hear Bhagavatam, you should hear from a Vaishnava only, and not from anybody else. That's what Swarupadamodara told him. You must approach the self-realized Vaishnava and hear from him. You can do this when you have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See what Prabhupada says here. Herein, Swarupadamodara Goswami instructs the poet from Bengal to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure Vaishnava and learn from him. In India, especially, there is now a class of professional Bhagavatam readers whose means of livelihood is to go from village to village, town to town, reading Bhagavatam and collecting dakshina or rewards in the form of money and goods like umbrellas, cloth and fruit. Thus there is now a system of Bhagavata business with recitations called Bhagavata Saptaha that continue for 1 week, although this is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nowhere does Srimad Bhagavatam say that the Bhagavatam should be heard for 1 week from professionals. Rather, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Srinvatam Sakata Krishna Puneshwana Kirtana. One should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam from self-realized Vaishnava. By such hearing, one becomes pious. Hridayantasya Bhadrani Vidunoti Subhasitam. By hearing Bhagavatam regularly and sincerely, his heart is purified of all material contamination. Nashta Prayasha Bhadreshi, he quotes that. This is the proper process, but people are accustomed to being misled by the professional reciters. Therefore, Swarupadamodara Goswami herein advises that one should not hear Bhagavatam from professional reciters. Instead, one must hear from self-realized Vaishnavas. And then he says, sometimes it is seen that when a Mayavadi sannyasi reads the Bhagavatam, flocks of men go to hear the jugglery of words. that cannot awaken their dormant love for Krishna. Sometimes people go to see professional dramas and offer food and money to the players who are expert at collecting these offerings very nicely. The result is that the members of the audience remain in the same position of grihamanda koopam, family affection, and do not awaken their love for Krishna. So this is what I was telling in the beginning, that those who are hearers, they are naturally having a contaminated heart and they want to purify. That's why they have come to hear Bhagavata. But if the speaker is simply pampering their senses and fanning their sense gratification so that they can make the audience happy, such a speaker is also condemned. Such a speaker is being talked here. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mitopi Padyeta Grihavratana. The Grihavratas, those who are determined to continue following the materialistic way of life, will never awaken their dormant love for Krishna. For they hear the Bhagavatam only to solidify their position in the household life and to be happy in family affairs and sex. Condemning this process of hearing the Bhagavatam from professionals, Sarudamadhar Goswami says, Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavirasthane. To understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava. One should rigidly avoid hearing the Bhagavatam from a Mayavadi or other non-devotee who simply perform grammatical jugglery of words to twist some meaning from the text, collect money from innocent public, and thus keep people in darkness. So three things he says. People who perform grammatical jugglery of words, who are scholars, to twist some meaning from the text, which is misinterpreted, collect money from the innocent public, and thus keep people in darkness. Sarudama Goswami strictly prohibits the behavior of materialistic so-called hearers of Bhagavatam. Instead of awakening real love for Krishna, such hearers of Bhagavatam become more and more attached to household affairs and sex life. Yanmaitunadi grihame sukham hitucham. One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a person who has no connection with materialistic activities. Or in other words, from a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, one who has achieved the highest stage of sannyasa. This, of course, is not possible unless one takes shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimad Bhagavatam is understandable only for one who can follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, if you want to know this verse and purport, this is Antalila 5, text number 131. Antalila 5th chapter, text number 131. So this verse very clearly talks about the hearer and the speaker of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, in the preface of Bhagavatam, he says, what is the result of careful reading of Bhagavatam? Because Prabhupada is the Paramahamsa Vaishnava. He has written this purport to Bhagavatam. What happens by careful reading? Three effects Prabhupada says. First he says, one will know God perfectly well by reading this Bhagavatam. One will know God perfectly well, which means the understanding of God is always confusion for majority of the people, even those who are religionists. But Prabhupada says, if you read this Bhagavatam purports, Prabhupada is confidently saying that you will know God perfectly well. Secondly, he says, you will be sufficiently educated to defend yourself from the atheists. You'll be able to defend yourself. Because the atheists always come forward with varieties of foolish, absurd arguments. And many times people know that they are wrong, but they don't know how to defend. But one will be able to defend oneself from atheists. And then Prabhupada says, one will be able to convert others to accept God as a concrete principle. Not only you will be able to defend, but you will be able to convert others' hearts and make them accept God as a very concrete principle. So these are the three benefits Prabhupada says in the preface of his Bhagavatam commentary. And what Prabhupada is saying is very true. We can see practically in our lives. If one recites Bhagavatam regularly, not only one understands the absolute truth with all its variegated features very thoroughly, but one also can defend oneself and also convert others and make them devotees. So in this way, the procedure for reciting Bhagavatam and the consciousness that is needed is so wonderfully stressed in this verse. So two main points. One is attentively hearing the Bhagavatam. That is one point stressed, which has a connection to purity of the individual. And another point being stressed is, who can recite Bhagavatam? The qualification of the reciters and the hearers. So that's being stressed here. So, we have to know that when we learn these good things, we have to apply them in our life. For example, personally I appreciate this point the most, Prabhupada stressing on purity. Because there is a great fear in the early stages of devotional life, like when one is taking diksha from a guru, one is very attentive, one is very careful, one is very respectful, because in front of the fire, in front of Vaishnavas, in front of demigods, in front of the deity, one is taking a name, guru is giving a name, and one is taking the mala, one takes to the vows very, very seriously and sincerely, and one's heart is completely softened, and one is very innocent. But then eventually over the years, one becomes sluggish, and again, the old conditionings seep in, they again get into the heart, the old vasana, that's the meaning of vasana, vasana means tendency. Prithi means the thought, vasana means tendency. The old tendencies come again. And when the old tendencies come again, then one falls prey to sinful habits again. And when one is impure, then one becomes neglectful, inattentive, careless, and all these bad habits come. And eventually the spiritual life loses its charm. Why people lose taste in spiritual life? This is the main reason. So one is no more enthusiastic in the performance of devotional service. So Prabhupada is giving a warning here. So in that purport about how one should perform devotional life very enthusiastically. So performing spiritual enthusiastically also means taking care of the regulative principles with utmost seriousness, maintaining that seriousness. So these things have a connection. The most amazing point is this, which I said, that neglect of gross regulative principles leads to inattention on a subtle platform. Because that is something that happens eventually. Sometimes, you know, you immediately don't know the effect. Like, you know, you're going in the train, you get down in a platform and you drink some water from some drum or something. The water goes in. And immediately you don't see the effect. When you return back, you know, you get cough, you get cold, you get high viral fever, and you become practically bedridden for 1 week. So the results eventually come. Similarly, the gross neglect of regulative principles eventually leads to subtle inattention of hearing the message, and inattention in the performance of all the morning programs. So this I read from Satsukadas Maharaj's book, that the morning program is a power-packed succession of beneficial devotional practices. Such a nice sentence he writes. Power-packed succession of beneficial devotional practices, which help us to come face to face with Krishna, with our mind, with our senses, with our intelligence, and with our heart, he says, provided one is not just physically present, but also mentally present, which is most important. That means we should be present more with the mind than with just the body. Bringing the body is a routine, but bringing the mind in taking the darshan of the deities and hearing the prayers and songs very attentively and contemplating on the meaning. So in the connection, I gave the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking Charanamrita. He says it's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. We don't see the lotus feet when we take Charanamrita. So if one is attentive like that, one will benefit immensely and one will make a very rapid progress. Thank you very much. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Bhaktavinoda ki. Thank you very much.